And you know, I'm caught here and I'm going, we're on. Today, yeah, the countdown. Folks across the world, as I mentioned with a dead battery, are gathered together for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And like I said, I'm not going to mention the gospel account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to mention it. Derek, I need you out here. I'm not going to mention it. I'm going to mention the effect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on you here that are saved and anybody else that trusts in Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about a resurrection of us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and other verses that I just did not cover. I would say there's a great importance about us, the body of Christ, being caught up out of this world. A resurrection of the saints out of this world. I think it's very important. And specifically, with Paul writing the number of verses he did concerning that. Now, there's one that I did not mention that I want to mention. If you would, turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, there's a verse here that Paul writes about. And there are several reasons why I want to preach on it. First reason is, in its truth, it's an absolute beautiful verse. In its truth. Secondly, in its truth, it applies to everybody that is saved. And thirdly, the truth of it was not covered properly Wednesday night, nor was it seconded by someone here Wednesday night. Therefore, I want to preach the truth of it so you can see the beauty of it. And also, there's an individual that has a website, I've gone to it, and says that people that believe like I do don't know what I'm talking about in verse 10. Well, I'm going to show you the truth of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. And in order to do it, you've got to break the verse down, and that's what we're going to do. Join with me in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, like I said, you got to break this thing down to understand it. There's a word in this verse I want you to go to. He might gather together in one all things. All things. The Greek word for things there, P-A-S, pas, I guess is how you say it. That word carries an understanding of individuals. In the context of verse 10, it carries the understanding of individuals. Now, the word could be used on all things like rocks and trees and birds and cows and all of that type thing. But in the context, when the Ephesians, who knew more than I do about Greek, saw that word pause there, they knew when they read it, things, it was talking about individuals, people. If you don't believe that, you won't believe the rest of the verse. You've got to start off on the right track to get to the right station. That's what the word means, things. Now, we use a time chart here. We basically let the X represent the beginning of Christ's ministry. We go to his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection. There's a gap here, and then we start off here with the time frame we're living in today, the body of Christ. It concludes with the rapture of the church. Then there's a seven-year trib and great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And at the end of that, the Lord will return and set up a kingdom here. We use 1,000 years because it mentions it several times in Revelation about how long he's going to reign. But it doesn't really tell you that he's going to reign just 1,000 years. It tells you at the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be loose. He'll be brought up. And he's going to deceive the nations once again, and then judgment will fall. But we're going to go into that in just a minute. Now, let me ask you, those of you that have been with me for a while, have I ever taught on this or mentioned this time frame before in any study or Sunday message? All right. How about this time frame? Peter and the apostles here. Yes or no? All right, how about the body of Christ? Yes or no?
Yes.
How about after the body of Christ, 7-year tribulation?
Yes.
How about the 1,000-year reign? Then I know after the resurrection of the body that there's times that's going to go on past the body of Christ. Because I've covered it. Then I don't need someone saying, Brother Mark, you know after the resurrection, there is times after that. I know that. I am well aware of that fact. So then, we've got some times along this board. Paul says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, you know what's interesting about this? There is something that's going to take place on this earth that is going to be paramount and will change this world. And it's found in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Look in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Question, who is that talking about? Jesus Christ, the Lord, right? All right. Verse 7, of the increase of his government. Whose government? Jesus Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, according to those verses, that tells me something. That tells me that Jesus Christ is going to return and sit on the throne of his father David. Can anybody in here tell me, according to this chart, when that is going to take place? Someone want to stand up and take a shot at it?
After new heaven, new earth.
Anybody else? The Lord's going to return. What's he going to do when he returns? He's going to sit on the throne of his father David and issue him the kingdom. It starts after the 7-year tribulation. So the Lord's going to return, sit on the throne of his father David, and guess how long this is going to last?
Forever and ever.
No end. That's a long time, folks. You know that? There's no end to it. This 1,000 years is just a vague number to give you an idea of when the Antichrist is going to, the devil's going to be raised up and deceive the world again. This government here will have no end even at the 1,000 year. You understand? This thing won't end when the devil gets loose. And he deceives the world, and then God brings judgment and casts him into the lake of fire. This thing will not end. Why? Because the government and the increase of it will be on his shoulders, and it shall have no end. That's a dramatic, dramatic change from what we have today, I can tell you that. No end. So then, we see a time going on and on. You know when you have time going on and on, which you don't have? You don't have a completion. You understand? There's no completion of time. It goes on and on and on and on. No end. Forevermore. The Lord will perform this. Turn back to Ephesians, verse 10 in chapter 1. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So we read through here, and we see that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together. So, someone takes a dispensation of the fullness of times, and for some reason, and I don't know why, I'm not being a smart aleck, because I'm not that smart, but for some reason, it stuck somewhere out here, and I can't pencil it in. I can't pencil it in. Why? Because the word times appears there. So, here we go. Zoom! Times! After the rapture, there's times that follow, right? Everybody, take your Bible. Close them. Everybody, close your Bible. I want everybody's Bible closed right now. Let me see them. Closed? Do not open them till I say open your Bible. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Quoted the verse three times. Let me ask some men. Donald, the verse I quoted. Where on that time chart would that go?
I would say any time in the dispensation of the age of grace.
Please don't call on me. Martin?
I agree with Don.
Dave? Don? Derek? You guys all telling me that the verse I just quoted falls in these parameters? Does that verse, you guys I've asked, can it fall outside of those parameters? Is he talking about the ministry of Christ? The resurrection with Peter preaching? The tribulation? The government of no end? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All of those men said that verse applies in the dispensation of the grace of God. I want you all to know that every one of those men that answered gave a correct answer. Everyone that gave that answer is correct. It falls in the dispensation of the grace of God. I said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It belongs in the dispensation of the grace of God. No other place in your Bible. That's the good news. They got it right. You want to know the bad news? I misquoted it. Oh, yeah. Turn to 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Right? Huh? No? Where did I mess up? Oh, let me try this again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's times. It's not latter time. It's latter times. You say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a whole bunch of difference. Why? Because you can have times in this dispensation. You understand? Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. It's very important that you understand that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Well, then I know. I know that this body is going to fill up. You know what fill up is? It's to complete. For instance, an example of this is I've got this bottle of water. It's got a top on it. And I don't mean this top. It's got a top part to it. I can fill this bottle up. And once it's filled, it's complete. It's filled. You can't fill it no more. The body is going to fill up with people. People who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And when you trust in him, you're put into this body. But I want you to know that in the latter times, plural, of the body of Christ, there's going to be doctrines of devils that's going to conflict against the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead men astray. The latter times. But there'll come a point in time when this body will be full. What will it be? It'll be complete. There's nothing more to add to it. And it's going to take place at the latter times. You know what that's called? It's called the dispensation of the fullness of times. And he's going to gather together those that are in earth, those that are in heaven. They're going to be gathered together. Well, who's in heaven? My mama's in heaven. Terry's in heaven. Colin's in heaven. Melanie's in heaven. Katie's in heaven. Richard's in heaven. And I could go on and on and on. They're in heaven, folks. Amen for it. Thank you. They're up in heaven. But when the Lord returns to catch us up, those that are alive and remain, where are we going to be? We're going to be on the earth. And what's going to happen? We're going to be caught up with them that's already there in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thank you. I mean, some of you just don't realize the importance and beauty of this thing. You understand? In the latter times, this is going to take place. I want you to compare a couple of verses of Scripture. Hold Ephesians 1:10 and turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together. Gather together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our what? Gathering together. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. In other words, it's going to come to a complete, full capacity. In the latter times, it will take place. And we're going to gather together with the saints in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, you can't have the fullness complete take place over here where there's no end. Let me say that again. The dispensation of the fullness. There's some completeness here. You can't have completeness when over here there's a time of no end. Once the Lord sits on the throne of his father David, once the government's upon his shoulder, there will be no end. So there's no fullness to take place. You can search it, you can hunt it, all you want. But that verse in Ephesians 1:10 slaps directly into the dispensation of the grace of God, and it's the absolute beauty of us that remain and those that have gone to be with the Lord of a time that he's going to gather us together and meet them in the cloud. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, we look forward to seeing those that have gone on before us. We don't sit here when someone says, I put my trust in Christ. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they pass on. We don't go, well, you know, I just hope they made it up there to be with the Lord. They weren't living quite right. You put your faith in Christ, your living has nothing to do with it. You know what they're going to teach in the latter time? You better live it or you won't get to it. That's the false doctrine being taught today. If you don't live it, you won't get it. Well, folks, Jesus Christ lived it in our behalf. And it's by his faith that we're justified. And so we put our trust in his faith that one day when we die, and we are, we're going to whoop, go on up to be with the Lord. Amen. You want to know how much Paul cared about in his writings about the 7-year tribulation? You want to know how much Paul cared and expressed in his writings about this period of time? If I can find it, I'll show it to you. It jumps into my mind. I'm like, all right, where is it? Come on, smarty pants. I got it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I thought it was 2 Thessalonians, but context. Context is about, it just covers everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Watch this. Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Well, let's see what he's talking about. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. And they shall not escape. For ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You know what he's writing about here? The return of the Lord here. When he comes down and plants his feet on the mount, and he takes the throne, and he destroys all of those that are enemies to him. That's the day of the Lord here. And you know what Paul said about that? I have no need to write about it to you. There's no need for it. Therefore, I know in Ephesians 1:10 we've been reading here that that is about us. He's writing about us, not some vague point in time out here. And there's one word that I want to close with to get you to see the full beauty of Ephesians 1:10 So turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. It's very difficult to compete by preaching with a children's Easter program. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. We got things there. What was things, folks? People. Individuals. That's the definition of the Greek word, individuality. But he said all. You know why he said all? Because the Jews always had hope. So there were some Jews there that were saved. There were Gentiles that had hope because they blessed the Jews and heard the gospel. But whoa, Nelly, there were some other Gentiles that were strangers from the covenants of promise and had no hope whatsoever. And that's all of you in here. That's all of us. That's all of us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's the only place that verse can appear in the Bible. Because I tell you this, after the rapture, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, you listening to me? If you haven't trusted in Christ and we go up and you're left to go in here, you ain't surviving it. God's going to send a strong delusion, you're going to believe a lie, and you're going to be damned for it. It's in the Word. All things, as in the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Gentiles that cursed Israel, that were strangers from the covenants of promise, men, women, black, white, yellow, American, Japanese, Chinese, African, whatever country, tall, short, thin, and fat, we're all in Christ by faith in Him. He'll save anybody, anytime, if you just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have you done that? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? When did you do it? Did you just have a point where you came to some knowledge because you did a program as a child and sang a little Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So, and you graduated and went with the head knowledge, knowing about Jesus? Everybody knows about Jesus today. When did you trust in the fact that when He died on the cross, He died for all your sins, was buried and raised again the third day? When was that day? You say, well, I can't recall the day. Do you recall the event? Were you here? Were you at a Bible study? Were you at home just feeling down and out? I know on account of someone's child here that was in a telephone booth. No, she wasn't calling God. I mean, there are some strange places. Where were you when you trusted in Christ? Say, well, I don't rightly recall. Well, I tell you what. So you don't mess up your eternity. Why don't you right now, for your conscience sake, trust in Jesus Christ. Just let go of it and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will remember this day. Well, I remember it. It was Easter Sunday at your church, Brother Mark, that I trusted in Jesus Christ. I always knew about it, but I never knew that day. Won't you make it your day today so you can have that confidence and that surety? Because they will, based upon the latter times and the dispensation of the grace of God, they will come a point in time when He's going to gather together those of us, those that are in heaven and those of us that are on earth, all in one in Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Be a part of that as we sing, as the roll is crawled up yonder. Will you be there? That's your question and for you to answer. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the glorious gospel of Christ and the fact that even though we have heartache and the loss of our loved one, and the fact that they've passed on, we do know that they're secure in Your Son. We know one day that You'll catch us out. And we know that those of us that believe will be gathered together for a family reunion that will never end. We give You the praise for this. And we'd also like to pray, if there's any here whose heart is under conviction, that they put any pride aside so that they could trust in Jesus Christ as we have, and enjoy the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of all sins. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.